Welcome to the Barrador's Bid On. Pull up a chair and join us for our fortnightly chat about everything pro cycling. And with the Giro rustling into life like the spring bugs across Europe, I'm joined by my usual co-hosts here at the Bid On. It's of course quiz night, and I'm Tom, your quizmaster. And with me, I have Katie.
Hi.
Anna.
Hiya.
And Dan.
Hello.
Well, before we start the quiz, there is time to get the drinks in at the bar, so let's get your orders. As it's the Giro, I'm wanting you all to have suitably themed Italian drinks. Katie, what are you having?
Well, not only is my drink Italian themed, which I'm very pleased with, it also comes from the region that we have just been watching on our screens today, the beautiful Abruzzo. I'd love a lovely big glass of Montepulciano red wine, please.
Very nice. Ooh. Very nice. Dan, what can I get you?
Oh, I'm basic. I'll just have a beer and Moretti, please.
And finally, Anna, what am I getting you?
What else? I'll have a glass of Prosecco, please.
Very nice, very nice. For me, I'm going to go for a large glass of Pignolo, which I'm sure you all know is a tannic red from the Friuli Venezia Giulia region of Italy. I probably absolutely butchered that. But the most
important to me.
But the most important thing is that it is where we all know Mikel Landa last won a stage of the Giro in 2017 with a stunning solo victory in a summit finish in Piancavallo. So, yeah.
Well,
brilliant,
yeah.
Lovely. Yeah. Reminds me obviously. Of fonder times.
Now you say it's obvious, really.
Yeah, ancient history, though.
Oh, yeah, just on the tip of my tongue.
It was, yeah.
Right, so on with the quiz. As usual, we've got five questions, all suitably Giro-themed, and we will be competing against each other. So, question number one. Remco Evenepoel has taken the line for his second Giro d'Italia of his career and has started struggling, putting nearly 30 seconds into his closest GC competitor and taking the pink jersey. However, before the Giro, so not including the time trial on the first stage, how many World Tour wins, either stage or GC, in Italy does Remco have? So just
nice
to make that clear again.
Yeah.
How many World Tour wins in Italy does Remco have prior to this weekend?
I can see you Googling in the corner, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, put phones down.
Very quiet.
Right, I've got an answer.
Question number two. Yep. Primoz Roglic returns to the Giro after what many consider his breakout performance as a GC contender in 2019, where he finished on the podium after a stage win and 5 days in the pink jersey. However, again before this weekend, how many Giro has Primoz ridden and, for a bonus point, how many stages has he won along the way?
Primoz Roglic. So I'm looking for how many times he's ridden the Giro and how many stage wins he's had at those.
Before this weekend, how many Giro and how many
stages?
So
he's ridden it at least once before then.
Well, I did tell you that he finished on the podium and when he won it. So it's at least once, because I told you that he rode it and I told him that he won. Question number three. Filippo Ganna failed to make it three starts and three opening stage pink jerseys at the Giro d'Italia. Filippo Ganna in his career has ridden six intermediate time trials at the Giro d'Italia. How many of these has he won?
Intermediate time trials?
Individual time trials.
I want to start that one again, mate.
There's no such thing as an intermediate time trial. And unlike the other questions, that includes the one that happened this weekend. Question number four. Thibaut Pinot took the Blue Mountains jersey on today's stage three, attacking off the front of the peloton to take 12 King of the Mountain points and the lead of the classification. Thibaut Pinot has won one previous jersey classification at a Grand Tour. What classification was it? And for a bonus point, what year did he win it in?
So do we need the Grand Tour and the jersey? Or the classification for the main point?
There's the jersey, the tour, and the year.
I would just say the classification will be fine, even if you don't tell me what Grand Tour it was at. But you can feel smug if you tell me what Grand Tour it was at as well.
Again, no prior knowledge needed. It's great.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in a cycling pub, and this is a cycling quiz. It's not going to be. It's not going to be like.
I might have.
What do you? What are the things you put your feet on when you're riding along?
I prefer that. That sounds better.
Question five. Jonathan Milan took stage two in a reduced bunt sprint following a crash in the peloton. The Italian took the host's first stage win of this year's Giro. There is 51 Italians at this year's race, but for a massive 5 points on offer for five correct answers, making basically all other questions basically obsolete, we're going to play a game of higher or lower.
Yes, love it.
Oh, God.
So 2023, 51 riders. Cast your mind back to 2022, Jai Hindley's return and rather dull duel with Richard Carapaz, let's face it. Did that have more or less Italians? Okay, Dan, higher or lower?
Lower.
Anna?
I've written less. Does that count?
Lower, you know, yeah. And Katie?
Shouldn't it be
that's
fewer?
An answer.
It is lower.
Oh, bloody hell. Fewer, yeah.
Katie?
Grammar police over here.
Yeah,
more or fewer?
More
higher or lower sounds better. Higher or lower?
Yeah, higher or lower sounds better. Lower. It is lower. Yes, that is the answer.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. That is correct. 45 riders in the 2022. Giro d'Italia. Brilliant.
That doesn't feel like Roman.
All right, we move
they really
back
turned
another
the Italian
year
up
to 2021.
So
2021, Bernal's dominant win and return to form after back pain problems. Did that have higher or lower?
Than 40, whatever it was.
Than 45. Let's go back to Dan first. Let's go to Anna first this time, because Dan went first last time.
Oh, I'm going higher.
Higher. Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to say higher.
Higher. Katie?
Yeah, I was going to say higher too.
You're all correct again. 54 Italians started the 2021 edition of the Giro d'Italia. So far, everybody's on
now.
2 points. Everybody's on 2 points. We go back to COVID year 2020, where Teo Gegenhardt and Jai Hindley had a close battle where the Londoner managed to put his rain jacket on first in front of the Aussie. Did that have higher or lower Italians? Let's go to Katie first this time.
Well, I think it had lower everything, didn't it? There was only about six people there in the end, but I'm going to go lower.
So lower than 54. Dan.
I'm going to say higher.
Higher.
Oh, finally,
Anna?
We have a difference.
Oh, I'm gonna go lower.
Lower. The answer is 48. Lower.
Yes.
Oh.
Way.
Get in there.
Sorry for being contrarian and not following the crowd.
So Dan, we lose you there.
Dan's notion.
You get 2 points from there. Anna and Katie Pumpney have 3 points. We move on to 2019 and Richie Carapaz surprising pretty much everyone and winning the Giro when nobody had really heard much about him at that point. Did the 2019 Giro have higher or lower? Let's go with Anna first.
Oh, I'm going to go in a nice pattern and go higher.
Katie?
Tell me the number again.
48 in 2020.
That's a bit of a... Yeah, I'm going to go higher.
You're both correct again. 51 started the 2019 Giro d'Italia. And finally, moving on to 2018, which had that attack from Chris Froome and the bonks of all bonks from Simon Yates. Did that...
Never not funny.
Oh, don't bring that up.
Never
again.
Not funny. Bonk.
Still not over it.
Did that have more higher or lower than 51 Italians at that Giro d'Italia?
I'm going to go lower.
Yeah, same.
Correct. 5 out of 5 for Katie and Anna. 45 Boom. Italians started that Giro d'Italia. Before we
I'm
go
a goat,
over the other questions, that is Anna and Katie with 5 and Dan with 2. Two all Dan.
Well, I'm going to win all the other questions.
Dan, you're going to have to do a Chris Froome here and come through. And
a 2018.
You're all going to bonk like Simon Yates.
Let's have the answers.
Right, so question number one.
Decorum.
Question number one. Remco Evenepoel and his Italian wins in the World Tour level. What did we go for? What did Anna, how many wins in Italy at World Tour level did Remco have?
Well, I've gone for 4. because I had no idea.
Dan?
None.
And Katie?
What? I've gone for two. He won Lombardia, didn't he? Maybe he didn't. Oh, God, have I gotten confused? No, he didn't. He crashed in Lombardia. Oh, my God. I'm just going to stick with two now because I've said it. But I think
Dan's
Dan might be right.
Googling in the corner has paid off. He's got the correct answer. Zero World Tour wins in Italy prior to his Giro d'Italia. He's only he's
like
got 12 World Tour wins in general.
I must have got him confused with someone else.
Yeah, Roglic.
That's probably it.
So Dan is clawing it back. 3 points for Dan, 5 for both Anna and Katie. Moving on to question two. This was Primoz Roglic and his Giro escapades. How many Giro has he ridden and how many stages has he won? Katie, let's go to you first as a Primoz Roglic expert.
Oh, no, no pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure. I don't know for sure. I think he might have only done one, and I've guessed that he might have won three stages.
Well, so, I said earlier that my answer was one and one, and I stuck with that and went with one and one. Which I'm guessing is not correct now through some kind of... something's telling me that might be wrong.
And Dan?
Well, he's done two previous and he's won two stages.
Are you sure you're not Googling, Dan? Because you're coming back into this. He's done two Giro and he's won two stages.
I have a good brain for Giro. Best tour.
So, yeah, I mean, Dan's calling it. He's now back. It's now 5-5-4 here. It's getting close.
Ooh.
So, moving on to question three and Filippo Ganna. How many individual time trials has he won in the Giro d'Italia, before, including this weekend's? Let's go to Katie first again.
Oh, God, I'm on the fence between two numbers, and whatever one I say, this is going to be the other one. So, I'm going to go for... Three.
Oh. Three.
Anna?
I've got five.
Dan?
Five.
The answer is five.
Oh, I would have been wrong anyway. My other option was four.
Anna takes the lead. 6 points, and then Dan draws level with Katie at five apiece. So it's all on Thibaut Pinot. Question
Isn't
four.
It always?
Always on that.
Always on Thibaut Pinot. No the whole, Pino. Like the hopes of France, it's all on Thibaut Pinot.
What classification has Thibaut Pinot won, and what year did he win it in? Let's go to Dan first. I don't think we've gone to Dan first for a bit.
Yeah, we can find out what Google
he
said.
Won the what? He won the white jersey in 2015.
Okay. Anna?
Oh, I've got that he won a yellow jersey in 2019. Don't ask me what tour because I don't know.
And Katie?
I went for white as well. And I was flip-flopping on years between 2013 and 2014, actually. I'll go 2014.
Thibaut Pinot won the white jersey at the Tour de France in 2014.
Yes! Come on!
1 year out. Damn it.
So, Katie, the last question. Roars into the lead with 7 points. Anna's on 6 and Dan is also on 6. Katie has won
inaugural
Tarador's
Bidon quiz.
I'll take that.
That is the first Varador's Bidon quiz on my palmares, and it will be my most memorable victory.
I also want to know what tour Anna was watching in 2019 when
Thibaut Pinot won a yellow jersey. Yeah.
God knows.
I didn't realise it was Grand Tour. Sorry. I missed that. I must have been asleep.
So, well done, Katie.
A really sad one where France did the Avec Pinot video package, and then because he was going to win it, and then he didn't win. And it was all sad.
It's all sad because isn't he? So, I mean, the Giro really came into life today, really, so after an individual time trial, which is always a bit, you either like them or you don't, and a long flat stage yesterday. The last 40 kilometres of today's stage were really interesting. Lots going on, lots of different teams involved. And, Renko is looking very, very good at the moment. What are we hoping for over the next 3 weeks?
I'm hoping that the time trials, whilst they are a huge part of this year's race, don't just mean that it is dead already. Like, after Sunday, I'm just worried that, you know, Remco's already got 40 seconds on Roglic, a minute and a half on your average standard GC guy. Then you're throwing in a time trial that's double the length-ish or something.
I'm going to borrow Robbie McEwen's point, because I agree with it, which he said on post-race today, which is that 43 seconds in the mountains is absolutely nothing. And I saw the discourse on Twitter, and everyone's like, oh, there's no point watching it now. It's like, you're aware of how many thousand metres of climbing there are in the third week. Like, it might be really long and slow for the first 2 weeks, because not much is going to happen, and it's just going to be Remco winning two time trials. But that third week, it could go upside down. So I'm going to reserve any sort of GC negativity, if it is, till then. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, I'm really intrigued to see what the time gaps are going to be after Sunday.
I take a little bit of hope from the fact that, you know, I know it wasn't the biggest climb in the world, but Remco, he wasn't the fastest up that final climb. There was quite a few people from the GC lot that were faster than him. And I think if Remco has anywhere to prove himself still, I would say it's on those really long, tall, high mountains. He's obviously building, he's getting better and better. You know, I didn't think he'd win the Vuelta last year. He went and won it, you know. But I would say that's probably the only thing that he hasn't shown us yet, is his ability to win in the tall, high mountains, super steep, super hard, day after day. You know, he hasn't done that yet. The final week will be the proof of the pudding, really.
Yeah. He hasn't done it twice, anyway. Do you think he'll give the jersey away on stage four?
Do you think he will be able to? Because do you not think... I'm not very good... like tactician when it comes to cycling. I sort of learn after things have happened and go, oh, that's why they did that. But do we not think that Jumbo-Visma won't let him lose the jersey by putting pressure on? Because if Primoz can, you know, attack tomorrow's climbs a little bit...
Yeah, I think it's probably in their interest to keep him in the jersey. Tomorrow would be a stage that would suit Roglic anyway. You know, he could look at that and think, I could win that.
I just think there'll be so many attackers.
When they went for that intermediate sprint today, it looked like they pressurised Remco to go for it, but I don't think that Roglic really tried.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Didn't he?
Because Roglic knows it's only like the difference of a second, doesn't he? He knows
exactly.
That it's really...
But he's trying to make Remco just all that tiny little bit more tired at every little thing. So, yeah, I mean...
It's getting under his skin as well. I think Roglic knows he can get under Remco's skin. And we saw it at Catalunya, didn't we? The sort of... The vibes between the two, and they're very different characters, and I think that's way Roglic wins this Giro. And if he's feeling good, if he's got the legs for the climbs, he gets under Remco's skin, and that's...
Well, didn't they say that he wanted to be in perfect condition for the third week?
Yes,
I think they're probably hoping that Remco's going to be tiring out just as Roglic comes into complete total form.
And yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Also, Roglic's team just isn't strong. Like, it's just not. So they don't want... I'm not saying they can't pressurise Remco tomorrow. I just think there's no point then chasing 90 people attacking to get in the breakaway tomorrow when they can just say, well, you know, give the jersey away. To be honest, they're probably even thinking they don't have to do anything until Sunday anyway, because that's the second time trial. I just think it's going to be a very slow burn jumbo performance.
You're right. It's a fair point, actually, because it's in Remco's interest to give away the jersey, but it's also in Jumbo-Visma's interest to save themselves, given everything they've been through.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you've got Sepkus trying to, like, take himself out of the race today as well, just by doing a little mechanical on the fly.
Oh,
so, you know, honestly, of all the people, just keep your hands on the handlebars, please.
We need you to have your fingers for climbing.
Don't chop your fingers off.
Not ideal, but yes, so you're probably right. I think it'll be a good breakaway day. I'm hoping for a big breakaway day. Still in the race, but I'm just, you know, it might be enough to take off that little edge she might need to win the stage, but
well,
he might be fine.
It'll be a Movistar Fuga della Fuga. So there you go.
Okay, cool.
Right, whose round is it? Katie, is it your round?
Yeah, it can be my round. I'm ready to get the drinks in. And we need a round of Spanish drinks because I'd like to chat about La Vuelta Femenina, if we may, because it was an amazing week of racing, covering the whole of Spain, which was quite ambitious for the first expanded version of the Vuelta. And it was really good. Anyone else see it?
I only caught the last few stages, if I'm honest, but I mean, the Vollering and Van Vleuten beef was obviously all over Twitter and was, well, very, very exciting. Cool.
What's your view on that, though? Because that, like, I understand Van Vleuten, like, to a certain extent, because, like, don't take a pee break when there's about three echelons, but at the same time, if your main GC rival is taking a pee break, why are you attacking? And discuss.
Yeah, good question. It was very, like, you can see both sides of the argument, but Vollering took it hard. She was quoting words like deception on her Instagram, and very dramatic. And I did notice, actually, she posted every day on Instagram, and she kind of tried to summarise the stage in a paragraph or so, and it was interesting to see her insights. And she did not congratulate Van Vleuten on her win yesterday. Ooh. She said thanks to her team. She said thanks to the organisers, I think, but no congratulations for the winner. So I wonder if that beef will be long-standing this season.
Yeah, well, it sets up the Tour de France Femme nicely, along with the Giro as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's really cool, actually. And, you know, outside of just the beef between the two sort of main protagonists, there was so many other great performances. And it's sort of like, for many reasons, but specifically for the reason that we've got all these cool young GC hopes coming through, it's kind of really sad that we're losing Van Vleuten just at the point when people are starting to rise up to the challenge and to work out ways of beating her. And the sort of strength in depth in the women's peloton is really cool. Just to see that this week, with obviously Riolini right up and challenging, other young riders having brilliant rides on different days, Rianna Marcus, Erica Magnaldi, Ricardo Baumfind had an amazing ride on stage, I don't know what it was, five maybe. It's going to be an amazing season. Like, the other two Grand Tours should be absolutely cracking.
I think it's really good from a narrative point of view. So that rivalry, that sort of duel, you know, that can be built up really well in media and like on Twitter and stuff. And you've already got the sort of SD Works versus everybody else sort of narrative that's been bubbling along this season anyway. You chuck in that sort of Vollering Van Vleuten rivalry as well. I think it will really push, you know, women's cycling to a bigger audience again, especially, you know, at the Tour de France, you know, later this year. I think if that will be pushed quite hard, and I think that will really, you know, sell it to the masses.
It will raise the level of the sport as well, because the teams on Lagos de Covadonga, they were basically Van Vleuten, Riolini and Vollering were basically on their own with 10k to go. So you think, you know, if you're going to bring up the level with them, you could have some pretty epic tactical battles.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's when you get to longer stage races and Van Vleuten's there in previous years, it's been so one-sided. And I think that's been, you know, people were wanting to get into women's cycling more and to watch more of it, but they're just like, well, you can already see there's a mountain stage at the end. That's it. It's going to Van Vleuten. And now we are getting to this point where we don't know who's going to win. And the level is so high and the teams have more depth. And yeah, it's a really exciting time.
Right, that sound can only mean one thing, and that's last orders at the bar, ladies and gentlemen. Anna, what have you got for
us? Well, final thought, has anyone been on Twitter recently and seen the amazing thread by Cycling What Ifs of all the riders with beards and long hair?
Don't they look glorious?
They did look glorious, yeah. I mean, huge carding.
Quite amazing.
It's just fantastic. They're just, yeah, because I looked at that quite too much. It was just hilarious.
I think Hugh looked a bit like whatever his name is in Castaway. He had that kind of vibe about him.
It's the same kind of look from Forrest Gump as well, you know, when he does all the running. So yeah, same actor.
I genuinely think he took the template for Hugh and took it from my profile picture, to be fair. But...
It was either like sort of hippie dropout vibes or metal guitarist vibes.
He did look a bit stonery, didn't he?
I don't know. Mark Cavendish did look like one of those. Do you remember that old skit of the Scousers in shell suits going, "Hey, calm down, calm down"? Like, he looked very much like one of them.
Oh, I missed the Cav one. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, the proper like perm going on.
I mean, some of them did look better though. So, like, Stephen Krausvik came in and followed Cycling What Ifs as a result of this thread, which is blown up. And so
Warren Barguil retweeted his one.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So Cycling What Ifs then turned Krausvik into a beardy, long haired man, and he looked great. I thought that looked really suited him. So some of these guys should be like inspired.
That
for the
version
future,
of Stephen Krausvik would not have lost the Giro.
No, absolutely not. Remco, he would have climbed out of that snow. That'd been fine.
Yeah.
Remco.
Looks a bit like Ken.
Ken.
No, Barbie and Ken. Oh, Barbie and Ken. Barbie and Ken. Ken.
That
Barbie
Ken.
And Ken.
Ken from Barbie and
that
Ken.
That Ken.
Ken.
Mm. Yeah, he had no beard. So, yeah.
Eddie Dunbar looked like he was straight out of Thin Lizzy.
I don't think I've seen all of them, actually. I have to
go
back
Jake Stewart, again, has a perm.
Bangs. Classic 70s look.
Yeah. And the Alejandro Valverde one, he looks a spitting image for, like, Kid Rock.
Iggy Pop, you think?
Oh, Iggy Pop, Iggy Pop. Yeah.
Just imagine Valverde riding around without his shirt on all the time.
And that's it for this week. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks for more cycling chat, another round of drinks, and most importantly, another quiz. Cheers, everybody.